Now, on the line, I have Kevin Figgis, and he is the SIPTU Health Divisional Organiser. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Thank you.
Absolutely delighted. And listen, thank you very much for taking the time to come on and chat with us.
No problem.
Kevin, the Oireachtas Health Committee met earlier this week, and they left SIPTU out of the talks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's very disappointing, Michael, really. So it's not actually just ourselves. What happened was that they invited specifically, I suppose, organisations that represent two particular grades, two very important grades in the health service, which would obviously be nurses and doctors, to discuss the experience of COVID-19 for the healthcare workforce. So SIPTU is one of the unions that would represent. We would represent some nurses and midwives within our division, but we would have many, many other grades as well. We obviously voiced our disapproval at the fact that there was a failure to issue an invitation to the likes of ourselves and indeed to other unions that would be working quite actively within the health service on behalf of the healthcare workforce. So, for example, from a SIPTU health point of view, we would have nurses and midwives, we would also have healthcare assistants, we would have paramedics, we would have radiographers, we would have support staff such as porters, catering assistant households, we would have technicians, we would have security staff. So we would have quite a varied expertise within our division of the members that we would look after. We would also look after them in all settings. So we would have members in acutes, we'd have them in mental health, we'd have them in intellectual disability. So I think on behalf of our own membership, I think we were quite right, I think, to voice our, our concern at the failure of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Health to invite our representatives in to discuss the impact of COVID-19 on our members. And it is interesting just to say that, I mean, there was recently a study done on the infection rates in St. James's Hospital that were published. And in that report, it actually stated that the most at-risk category of grade within the healthcare workforce was healthcare assistants. And we are the only union that represent them. So they had no voice at the Oireachtas Committee yesterday. And it's for that reason we said to the chairman of the Joint Oireachtas Committee, COVID itself has not been selective in who it infects. And it was greatly disappointing that the committee thought it appropriate that they would be selective with from whom they would hear.
You're quite right. And I tell you, Kevin, and this is something that really irks me and builds up the ire in me. I've noticed it for a long time, particularly in this country. There is such little respect for support staff. And you see it right throughout this society, where we don't think about the people who do. And there's a word that's coming into my head. I'm not going to say it because it sounds dismissive. But who do all the necessary works behind the scenes that keep our country going, like the bin men, like the porters in hospitals, like the healthcare assistants. These are really the unsung heroes.
Absolutely. And I must say, as a trade union, we're extremely proud to represent those people. And you're absolutely right. And I actually believe, by the way, that the nurses and the doctors who were being represented in the Joint Oireachtas Committee yesterday, I actually believe that they themselves would be the first to acknowledge that they are members of a multi-grade team. You know, they're multidisciplinary. So at the end of the day, you know, it is the catering assistants that feed people. It's the porters that bring people to their tests. It's the healthcare assistants that will help get people ready and care for them and look after them in their personal needs and things like that, and work very closely with the nursing staff in order to do that. You know, and you can go right the way through. And we all know, like, if somebody unfortunately has to dial 999 and call for an ambulance, unfortunately, I mean, it is the paramedic that is arriving in the ambulance to come and help you. So, it is wrong when, and it's somewhat sort of hierarchical you know, that it's seen that, well, look, we're just going to call in these two particular groups and we're going to have a conversation. You know, again, you know, I must again repeat, everybody absolutely values the essential role that nurses and doctors play in the health service. But there are so many other grades that are part of the service. They're part of the story, you know, and like the reality is that, you know, we know that in and around 13,000 healthcare workers were infected in 2020 for the 9 months since March. But we know that another 11,000 plus were infected in the first 4 to 5 weeks of 2021. You know, and it, like, I think equally speaking, we know that the most recent report from the HSE states that 12 healthcare workers have lost their lives, you know, and those people who have been infected, those people who've unfortunately succumbed to the disease, they're not of any particular grade, you know, and that was the point that we made to the Joint Oireachtas Committee chairman when we wrote the letter, because we basically said, you know, here we have a disease that is ravaging our society, ravaging our health service. We have healthcare workers literally on the front line on behalf of all of us, fighting it back, helping people at their absolute need. A lot of the people who are fighting COVID are there on their own because their families can't get in to see them. So all they're seeing is the healthcare workers, you know, the person giving them their meal, or, you know, the person who's bringing them for their test, or the person who's caring for them, or, you know, helping them, you know, get changed, or you know, if they're, you know, personal hygiene and things like this. These are all essential little steps of the interaction with the patient on a day-to-day basis. And it is just so wrong on so many levels that when you have a parliamentary committee then sitting down to better understand the effects and the challenges on the healthcare workforce, it is just so wrong on so many levels that all of those voices are not heard. And I can absolutely guarantee you, I mean, we have 42,000 members in the health service, and so many of those people, you know, their shoulders dropped just that little bit more when they went, well, you know, there's the political side of the world that just isn't interested in our views or in our experiences. And I think that that's a real tragedy.
It totally is. And there's a thing we all have to remember. In our hospitals and right across society, our sanitary staff, the people who clean and do all those necessary things, they actually save more lives than the surgeons and the doctors do. That's something that has to be kept in mind here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality is, you know, hospitals are, when you're dealing with this type of a thing, hospitals are dangerous places, you know, because obviously people are trying to sort of, they're trying to manage the risk, they're trying to isolate the risk. The best way of them doing that is to keep the people who don't need to be in hospital out of hospital, keep the people who do need to be in hospital, and to ensure that the staff are as best as can be. The staff are working in as safe an environment that can be achieved. You know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, be it the cleaning staff, be it the household staff, be it any of these grades, they are an absolutely essential cog in the wheel. The wheel doesn't turn unless all of these cogs are in place. And there is no grade that has the preserve of being the outright, let's say, voice on behalf of the healthcare worker, particularly when you're dealing with this type of a really difficult worldwide disaster. So therefore, if it's a case that the Joint Oireachtas Committee in Health really wants to have an understanding, well, then they really then need to ensure that all of those voices are heard, because otherwise there isn't learning. You know, and I think it's a real lesson, I think, for going forward. So, I mean, as you quite rightly said, I mean, we've written to the Joint Oireachtas Committee in Health. We've highlighted the concerns of our own members. We've highlighted what we see to be a glaring omission. We've highlighted the fact that we believe that it is wrong, and we believe that it should be corrected. But what we're not seeking is that we're simply then just sort of facilitated with, well, we better bring them in then. We're not interested in that. What we want is for our members to be treated with the exact same respect as the other groups and grades that quite rightly have been called in. We're not seeking to take someone else's place. But the Joint Rocks Committee on Health, when it comes to better understanding the effects of a pandemic on a healthcare workforce, but then you need to speak to the healthcare workforce, not speak to sections of it.
Yeah, you know, as the old saying goes, we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. But we've got to look at it as we are all equal, and that's it. Now, there was something else I wanted to bring up with you, and I mentioned it to you the other day. I think there has been a lack of follow-through by the government and looking after all the healthcare workers for the needs they have of getting them to be able to go to work, such as looking after childcare. And not just the childcare, but where they have to pay for that childcare where they wouldn't normally have to do it, that they should be recompensed for that.
Yeah, so I mean, childcare has been a massive issue and remains a significant challenge. It's been a massive issue. And, you know, from our perspective, Michael, I think there was a lot of learnings last year. The Taoiseach at the time, when the actual sort of first sort of lockdown was being announced, which from my memory, I think the Taoiseach at the time was in Washington at the time, the first lockdown was being announced. I mean, literally sort of within 24, 36 hours, all of these different sort of facilities were closing. So I suppose the key challenge for us to make sure that the health service workforce is able to help the most vulnerable people in our society on behalf of all of us. Well, that's why they go and do their jobs, is because they're doing it on behalf of us as, you know, the people of Ireland. You know, we want to support our healthcare workforce. But in order for us to do it, the best way of us supporting the healthcare workforce is to make sure that they can actually get into work. And it's been a real challenge, because what we've experienced to date is these sort of blanket types of closures, and then ultimately then healthcare workers finding themselves in an impossible situation where they have small children who simply cannot mind themselves. And then because of the lockdown, for example, you couldn't go to grandparents who you normally would have gone to. Because of the lockdown, you couldn't be travelling outside of the perimeter, let's say, that they were saying that, you know, that you couldn't travel out of. Your local childcare facility that you may have been using may not have been opening because they were saying that, look, it wasn't financially viable for them, or they didn't have whatever things in place. And then people were then having to look at alternatives. And as you quite rightly said, healthcare workers were telling us that they were accruing these additional costs as a result of trying to source somebody to look after their children so that they could go to work and look after the people who are sick and, you know, and obviously were suffering because of COVID particularly, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been a massive issue. And I can say to you, like in 2020, let alone the challenges we have at the moment, in the previous example, I mean, there was healthcare workers who were, you know, they were basically being told, well, you'll have to take your annual leave, and because there was no childcare facilities, you'll have to take your annual leave. And then when they took their annual leave and then they'd no annual leave left, they were having to go off pay. You know, I mean, I spoke to healthcare workers myself who told me that they hadn't paid their mortgage in a couple of months because ultimately they had no options. They had no options for childcare, and they couldn't. The kids were too small for them to leave them at home, etc. So they were the big challenges. So we felt we learned a lot from that, because obviously when things then came back sort of and reopened then in the latter part of last year, you were sort of hoping we weren't going to go back there again. But when the current lockdown was announced, we did sort of very much go back to that piece, and I know that. You know, look, I know that, you know, the government side will probably say that they've tried to do their best and all that type of thing. But at the end of the day, I do think that one of the real challenges was that particularly for, you know, key priority members of the workforce, particularly the likes of the health service, it is absolutely crucial. If you're closing everything down, it's absolutely crucial that you ensure that you're not severing the lifeline in the likes of the health service for the workforce to get to work. And it was as part of that conversation, Michael, that, you know, that we would have been having with the HSE and the department. I mean, we would have actually raised, you know, like, for example, our understanding was that in the UK, when they did a similar lockdown, what they actually did was they kept the likes of childcare facilities open for key workers, such as healthcare workers, and that healthcare workers' children had to be, even if they weren't, let's say, of child care type of age, let's say they were primary school, these childcare facilities were being told, you will have to take these children in, they're in your area, you're going to have to take them in, because we have to make sure the healthcare workforce can get to work. But there just didn't seem to be that sort of joined up thinking here. It was very much to close everything and then we'll work backwards. And as I said, I do know for a lot of healthcare workers, they found themselves really caught between a rock and a hard place, because on one side, they were the raging fire of the virus was in their workplace, while on the other side, they have children that just couldn't be left to look after themselves. And then the key then was to try to see, you know, well, what options do I have, if any?
You know, I spent my life working with one of the largest retailers in the world. And I got to a reasonable level in there. But I have to say, from what I can see, I can't blame the actual TDs and the government per se. I see this as a lack of, or a fault on the, I blame it on the management of our health services, of not thinking of, is this the right thing to do? Are we looking at after our staff? How are our staff going to get to work? What do they need to get in? I see the government do the strategy on top, but the management are the ones who are there who should be implementing it, and implementing it in a way that can work.
Well, you see, I think the challenge that we have in the likes of the health service is that you're not talking to, you know, obviously, if you're generally dealing with trying to solve a problem, you're generally, you know, in any normal sense of the word, you know, the two people will sit down opposite each other and try to solve it, you know, back when we were allowed to sit opposite each other. But you know the point I'm making. So, but that generally isn't the model that happens in health. So in the health service, you're predominantly dealing directly with the health service executive. However, there's also a parent government department called the Department of Health. And in for so many ways, they will come in and they will come out. They will be part of the process. They won't be part of the process, but they're another party in the conversation. And then in addition to that, you have the overarching government department called the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And generally speaking, from my experience, they're generally less than actively involved on a direct basis, but they're very actively involved indirectly. So in other words, if it's a situation whereby you say to the HSE, you know, we need to engage with you, we need to try to work with you with the view of trying to sort of come up with some type of a piece in relation to it. So we spoke to the HSE about the need to ensure that healthcare workers could get to work, the lack of support, financial supports for healthcare workers who were, you know, would be able to evidence the increasing costs of getting childcare during the lockdown, the lack of support. But the HSE's position would be, well, we don't have the authority to approve anything here, so we need to go to the Department of Health, and then we'll be told that the Department of Health is talking to the Department of Public Expenditure Reform, and then predominantly the message that comes back, you won't hear from the Department of Public Expenditure Reform directly, but you'll then hear back to be told, you know, well, they're not going to be in favour of doing anything here. And it's usually because they'll say, well, look, there's a fear of cross-contamination, or there's a fear of that this will, you know, this would negatively affect other areas, etc. So there's always a reason why something shouldn't be done. But from a negotiation point of view, when you're raising these issues on behalf of the healthcare workforce, it's very challenging because everybody that's in the conversation isn't necessarily in the room, even if it's a virtual room, you know. And there are people that ultimately have the final say or the overwhelming opinion, and they will most definitely not be in the room, you know. And that's a key challenge. So for a lot of these things where there is a financial aspect, for a lot of these things, you will find that the HSE has to go and speak to somebody else. But that somebody else will ultimately issue a decision, but they will never be directly involved. And that's part of the challenge as well.
You can never solve a problem dealing in that way. You know, I understand what you're saying. It's ridiculous. You know, the way I would have normally seen it in business is that, yes, everything has to be agreed by someone else. You know, you get two negotiating bodies, go in, they sit down, they trash out an agreement. And then, as we say with the union, they bring it back to their members and they'll say yay or nay. And on the other side, the negotiators will bring it back to their board of directors or whoever and get agreement there. But you don't have this situation where there's two or three bodies on the outside that can have all that influence in there. It just doesn't work.
Well, you see, I think the key challenge is this, is that, you know, like, obviously you're dealing with the reality that the pandemic, you know, COVID-19, which is raging like a fire throughout the health service. I mean, we heard the massive numbers of deaths in nursing homes in the month of January. You know, you're hearing, you know, five-figure sums of healthcare workers being infected with COVID-19 in the first couple of weeks of 2021. So it's absolutely, you know, ravaging effects. So we need everybody in work. You know, you need the healthcare workforce being supplemented. I mean, the government in October of last year, as part of the budget, announced an additional €4 billion for the health service and approval for an extra 2,600 beds and 16,000 extra healthcare workers. Now, that was all in October of last year with a big fanfare. Well, you know, these people are still fighting this virus on behalf of all of us, but we don't see the cavalry coming over the hill. You know, you don't see the replenishing stock in relation to the healthcare workforce. And the simple point is, I suppose, in relation to the childcare piece, is that when you go and you speak to the HSE and you say, look, we need everybody on the ground here, everybody that you need to be removing all of these obstacles. So if it's a situation whereby the government make a decision and they say, well, look, you know, because of whatever, we're gonna close these things. But if the closing of something has a detrimental effect to the ability of the healthcare workforce to get to work, then it's a problem. And, you know, and it's going to cause a sort of a ripple effect, because what we need is the healthcare workers, be it, you know, the nurses, the doctors, the healthcare assistants, the, you know, the health and social care professionals, the paramedics, the catering staff, the household staff, the security, the porters, you could go on. You need them in work, because the people who are in hospitals need them. And, you know, I made a comment before, you know, God forbid any of us, you know, that when, you know, are in a situation where you're having to make your way in an emergency to a hospital, and as you get there, you may be going yourself, you may be bringing a loved one, but when you're making your way to those doors, you're looking through the glass of the doors, because you want to make sure that the healthcare workforce are there, and that they're going to welcome you, and they're going to care for you or your loved one, and that they're going to do their absolute best for them. That's what all of us want. So if that's what we want, well, then society has, I think, an important role in ensuring that we support the healthcare workers by making sure that they're as safe as possible and that they can get into work, and that when they're in work, helping all of our most vulnerable citizens, that they can be in there assured that their loved ones, such as their own children, are being cared for.
Kevin, unfortunately, we're running out of time in a big way. Can I just ask you one last thing? Is what can our listeners do to support you?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's important to let, I think, healthcare workers know, you know, in any way that people can. I think it's important to let them know that what they're doing for all of us, I think, is hugely valued, you know, and I do think that it really does resonate with people. And I also think it's important that we try to help healthcare workers by trying to heed as best as we all can to the public health advice, you know, by keeping ourselves as safe as we can to make sure that, you know, there isn't any additional burden being placed on the healthcare service or the healthcare workforce. And I think that they're the best things that people can do. There is nobody better, you know, there is nobody better trained. Healthcare workers love the job that they do. And I know that because they tell me as a representative, they tell me that all the time. But there is nothing more frustrating for them when they feel that their hands are tied because of, you know, be it red tape or whatever the case may be, or the fact that they just feel that they're fighting a fight and they're losing ground. So if it's a situation that we support them, if it's a situation that they have the resources to do it, we have a world-class trained healthcare workforce who will do the best for our most vulnerable on behalf of all of us.
Kevin, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you, Michael.
All the best.